have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Unfortunately, stress and anxiety often accompany discussions about our finances, but we must remember that God is sovereign over everything. There is nothing too difficult for him. If you are feeling anxiety over your finances, then you probably have not truly given the situation over to God. If you are experiencing constant financial anxiety, I recommend that you first and foremost make sure that you are tithing faithfully. Regardless of your challenges, it is important that you honor God with the first tenth of your earnings. Number two, make sure you're praying. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God doesn't want us to carry stress and anxiety, and he has offered the solution for it. You just have to go to him in prayer and allow him to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Number three, meditate on God's word. God's word is filled with guidance on finances. In fact, as you read many of the parables that Jesus gave us in the Gospels, you will note that many of them actually provide guidance on how to handle our finances. As you meditate on his word, ask the Lord to help you make the changes necessary to come in full alignment with his will with respect to your finances. Number four, develop a budget which allows you to pay down your debts. This may require that you speak with your creditors to develop a payment plan which will work within your budget. Remember, ultimately, creditors want to be paid. They don't want to send you to collections. They simply want to collect. While we may be tempted to ignore the voicemails from collectors, that is the worst mistake you can make. While you ignore them, hoping the problem will magically disappear, they will become convinced that you have no intention of paying your obligation. God does expect us to pay our debts, so we must proactively seek to resolve them. Then finally, you must remain faithful and patient. Remember to praise God throughout your difficulty and know that he will bring you through. God will reward your faithfulness. In Romans 8:6, God has promised his peace when we are directed by his spirit. It may take some time to get completely back on track, but you will have a peace within that only God can provide because he will be guiding you through the financial difficulties. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Luther Barnes is an award-winning gospel singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, arranger, and choir director. During his long career, he has led a number of groups and released more than 30 albums. An inductee into the International Gospel Music Hall of Fame, Barnes is senior pastor at the Restoration Worship Center and the director of its choir. Barnes was born in North Carolina in 1954, one of four sons of the late pastor and gospel musician Bishop Faircloth C. Barnes, and part of a large extended family comprised of numerous musicians and vocalists. The younger Barnes attended the Nash Rocky Mount school system and began performing professionally at the age of 9 when he joined a group founded by his father called the Barnes Juniors. After graduating high school, he became a lead singer of the successful gospel quartet, the Sunset Jubilaires. who went on to score a long string of gospel hits, beginning with their debut album, 1983's God Gave Us All He Had. He pursued and attained a degree in music education from St. Augustine's College in Raleigh, North Carolina, and in 1985 formed the Redbud Gospel Choir while retaining his membership in the Sunset Jubilaires. While both groups have been successful, it was the latter who broke through consistently with charting hit singles such as I'm Still Holding On, So Satisfied, Spirit, Fall Fresh, The Other Shore, Somehow, Someway, and Matter How High I Get. Both of Barnes' groups eventually became award-winning recording artists and performers who coexisted for more than 25 years. Among the Sunset Jubilaires' most prominent recordings are the 1985 album Oh My Lord and 1993's Enjoying Jesus and 2000's Wherever I Go. The legacy of Juneteenth. On Freedom's Eve, or the eve of January 1st, 1863, the first watch night service took place. On that night, enslaved and free African Americans gathered in churches and private homes all across the country awaiting the news that the Emancipation Proclamation had taken effect. At the stroke of midnight, prayers were answered as all enslaved people in the Confederate States were declared legally free. Union soldiers, many of whom were black, marched onto plantations and across the cities in the South, reading small copies of the Emancipation Proclamation, spreading the news of freedom in Confederate states. But not everyone in Confederate territory would immediately be free. Even though the Emancipation Proclamation was made effective in 1863, it could not be implemented in places still under Confederate control. As a result, in the westernmost Confederate state of Texas, enslaved people would not be free until much later. Freedom finally came on June 19, 1865, when some 2,000 Union troops arrived in Galveston Bay, Texas. The Army announced that more than 250,000 enslaved black people in the state were free by executive decree. This came to be known as Juneteenth by the newly free people in Texas. Juneteenth marks our country's second Independence Day, although it has been celebrated in the African American community. This monumental event still remains largely unknown to most Americans. Let's continue on with our 2023 Stellar nominees. We left off at Category 19, Music Video of the Year. The nominees are Goodness of God, Jesus featuring LeAndrea Johnson, Mr. McClure, Michael McClure, Positive by James Earl, Special Event Album of the Year, Christmas at Our House, Teddy and Tina Campbell, Kingdom Business, Season 1 Soundtrack, Kingdom Business, T.D. Jakes Presents Finally Loosed, various artists, The Urban Hymnal, Tennessee State University Marching Band, Kiara Sheard Kelly, Sir the Baptist, and the Tennessee State University Band. Rap Hip Hop Gospel Album of the Year. The nominees are As I Am, 1K Few, Church Close 4, Lecrae, He's Been Good, Ms. Tiffany, and Us Against the World, God Over Money. Quartet of the Year, Keith Wonderboy Johnson, Restructure, The Christian Brothers, He Rewrote My Story, The Hawkins Boys, Vanquish, and The Williams Singers, Quartages. Well, that's our partial list of our stellar nominees, our legacy on the holiday of Juneteenth, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Well, praise the Lord. We want to thank everybody for taking the time to come in and to be part of our Bible study here at Power to Stand Outreach Ministry. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr., our First Lady, Sharon Richard, who is out of town and will join us a little bit later, Dr. Booker, Mother Miles, Deacon Suggs, and others who are coming on. We thank God for this opportunity and this chance to share with you and to go before you. And as we prepare ourselves to go into our Bible study, I'm going to ask each and every one of you, those who have a book, if you'll turn to page 86. Those who do not have a book, I'm going to ask that you go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through particular verses. Excuse me, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to share with us. Now, last week, we had a very good discussion talking about victory through surrender, and we understood what it meant when it said victory through surrender. We actually put ourselves in a position where if we give ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find ourselves gaining. The battles that we go through sometimes have a propensity to take us out of our element and try to make us feel less than what we really are. I bless God for every one of you being with us today and working in us and working through us. I'm calling upon you today, especially those of you who are on the telephone line, to come and to open, when we begin to ask questions, that you'll take the time to share with us and let us know what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Without further ado, let's go forward. Loudly, I need someone to get Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and I do want you to read crystal clear, nice and loud, so that everybody that is here will have opportunity and chance to be able to experience what it is we're about to do. Can I get a volunteer, please?
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are in the...
Mother, stay right there for a minute. Do you have Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11? Not chapter 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't worry. You can preach that next week.
Chapter 1.
That's why I love your enthusiastic reading. I promise you, I do. I love your enthusiastic reading.
Philippians. Okay. You said 3 through...
chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 11. From verse 3 to verse 11.
Okay. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Just as it's right for me to think this of you, you all, because I have you in my heart, and as much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that you love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that you are excellent, that are excellent, that you may be a sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
All right. Now, listen. As we said, we're getting ready to embark on another part of our journey. This tonight, and for those of you who may not be new in Christ, you understand, please bear with us because this is a maturing process. When we talk about survival kit, five ways to grow in grace, there are some aspects that one of the things that I'm learning, we didn't talk about this when we first started this, so we're going to just not backtrack, but we're going to include tonight this particular portion. Tonight we want to try to do the best we can to talk about three aspects of salvation. I'm talking about its beginning, I'm talking about the process, and I am talking about its completion. And the scriptures that you just heard read just a few minutes ago are going to help us to understand that and to really give it a good solid background. Perhaps some of you, when you first came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you thought that your simple prayer of surrender would give you all that Christ had to offer you. And I want to be the first to tell you, yes, you are absolutely right. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, all that you would ever have need of was inclusive when you surrendered your heart to him, because all that God had, he gave to Christ, who then in turn shared it with you. In that moment, you became a forgiven, free, Christ-indwelled vessel and a child of God. And that, you know, that we might say happened in the past, meaning that you had spent some time in salvation, but you found out that there were some bumpy spaces, there were some places where, you know, it didn't feel comfortable. There might have been places and spaces where you found a little bit of difficulty. You were trying to walk in the image of Christ. You were trying to imitate God. You were trying to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and try not to make some provision for your flesh. But then you found yourselves at some point in time with some irritating people who pressed and pushed your buttons to the place and point where you wanted to butt somebody to the white meat. But I'm going to sit here and say this to you. I'm not going to say you were right or you were wrong in the way you felt, but what I am going to say is that was part of your growth process. You've got to understand that the enemy has an assignment too. Just as we were called out of darkness into the marvelous light, the enemy has an assignment too. His assignment you find in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, "The enemy cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." But I like what he says in the latter part of that verse. He says, "But I have come that you might have life." So what I'm trying to get across to you is that in that same moment, when we receive from God those certain rights, we were also given an inheritance. And the rights that we have in God, we can claim them right here and now in the present. We will receive our total, complete, undeniable inheritance at a later date. So salvation, basically, is what I'm trying to get you to understand, comes basically in three stages: past, present, and future. The Apostle Paul knew this truth and tried and was explaining it to the church at Philippi, and we just read what he wrote to them. See, I could ask this question now. When you read Philippians chapter 1 and start at verse 3, what is the first thing that you notice? Paul did something every time he remembered his Christian brothers and sisters, and verse 3 is the telltale story of that whole thing. Paul would always do this, and I want to encourage you, as you grow in the admonition of the Lord, I want us to get into the habit of when we pray one for another, that we thank God for, you know, in all our remembrance of individuals. Yeah, I know I don't talk to you every day, and we don't get a chance to have a conversation every day, but the one thing that does happen on a day-to-day basis, just that God gives you life, health, and strength, food, clothing, and shelter, and in some cases, other blessings that come with you, why is it that I can't take the time to thank God for you as an individual? See, here it is in a nutshell. Proverbs tell us that iron sharpeneth iron, and so doth the countenance of, so does man to man. And all that simply means is you and I have to hold one another accountable in our growth process. It doesn't take Oh, boy. Put yourself on mute unless you're going to speak, because basically when you try to answer your phone, folks, I'm talking about those on the line, when you answer your phone, you push music over to our side. I'll unmute you in a minute, Dr. Booker. But nonetheless, as we move forward in this thing, we have to put ourselves in a position where we can pray one for another and thank the God of our salvation for the work that he does for us on a day-to-day basis. Now, I do want to make this little small note for those of you that are still on the line. You ever notice when we're trying to work our way through something, how something always has a way of trying to disrupt? We're going to have those things in life. What we've got to understand is when we're working and trying to be who God called us to be, you got folk out there that are going to challenge you. You got people out there that are going to put you to the test. They're going to sit there and tell you you ain't saved, you ain't satisfied, that there's nothing to you, that there's nothing about you that's impressive. And we're not here to impress a single solitary soul. All we're trying to be is all that God called us to be. If God says we're the head and not the tail, then we got to understand that being the head doesn't mean we spend all our time looking behind. We know we're not the tail. If we're above and not the feet, let me say something to you. I like how the writer in Isaiah 40 talks about it. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of an eagle. Now I'm trying to make somebody here understand that as a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, as a new creature in Christ, a species that never before existed, you do not hang out with chickens and ducks and pigeons and any animal bird there is. Eagles do not fly. Eagles soar. They use the strength of their wings to get above, and once they get to that said-to-be height, they glide from that point forward. God is here to help you to learn how to glide, but you've got to learn how to climb. And I don't mean like we do on a ladder or like we would in a tree. God is trying to show you how through prayer, through praise, through adoration and exalting the name of Jesus, we rise above the storms of life. And don't think for 1 minute that the storms of life are not coming. Just as sure as we are here and we're breathing and you can see me, and even though I physically can't see you, I know that you're there. In our beginning, God supplied us with all we would have need of. And now here we go through the process. Here's the process of it. Now, I got a favorite scripture out there, and I'm going to share that one scripture with you. It's found in the Gospel of John. I'm going to get back to the scriptures in a minute. It's found in the Gospel of John, and it simply says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, I got to make you understand that he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is a principle in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And here the principle is, Christ allowed himself to be planted, meaning coming down through 40 and two generations, born of a virgin, and spending 33 and a third years on this earth teaching the attributes of God, teaching the ways of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, showing every attribute there was of God. But when his time came to die, he knew he had to be planted. He knew he had to be crucified. The Bible tells us that by one man's sin, all men became sinners. So now by one man's righteousness or right standing, all men are made righteous. And this is the substitutionary work that the Lord Jesus Christ did. He planted himself. So what I'm trying to say to some of us listening by way of telephone and here on social media, God is going to put you somewhere where he is going to plant you. You have to die to yourself. Self has to die. There can be no more I. No wonder Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm therefore crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in our process, we have to learn how to die to ourselves. We have to learn how to exalt other people, to thank God for other people. Paul thanked God for the Philippian Christians. And, you know, he says right here, let me look at verse 4. He says, in every prayer of mine, I'm reading the Amplified Classic Version. He says, in every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for you all with joy and delight. It ought to be a joy and a delight for us to allow ourselves to be put in a position where we can talk to people, talk about people, go to God about people. If I'm always going to God, whining, crying and complaining, talking about how mean people are, how evil people are, how wrong some people are. And see, here's what I've got to say to a lot of us, and especially those of you who are on social media. You have your TikToks and you have your social media gatherings, and you take the time to go on and you bash preachers and you beat down leaders and things of that nature. God didn't call us to do any of that. That's not our job. That is his job. Our job is to excel to the edifying. Paul said this when he spoke to the Corinthian church. Our job is to excel to the edifying. We are to build up. It is not our job to pull anything down. That is not what God called us to do. God did not call us to browbeat preachers. Yeah, I do understand there are some preachers that live in the raggediest life you have ever seen, but is that my responsibility? No, that's God's responsibility. Now, for the one that might be living raggedy, there might be 21 that are living holy. You got to remember this now. There's progress in the gospel. We've got to spend time focusing on those things above. We cannot set our affections on the things on the earth. If we allow what's around us to keep distracting us, we can't further ourselves in the growth process. In our beginning point, and I know I'm going to get down to that particular scripture, so let me get down there so I can get right where I want to start. Verse 5 says, I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership. That says a whole lot right there. This shows you what we ought to be doing. I don't care if you're related to somebody in church. I don't care if you're just friends with them. I don't care what the case is. We have to thank God for the fellowship. And I thank God for the fellowship of each and every one of you at Power to Stand. I thank you for your cooperation, your contributions, and your partnership. That tells me that we are all in this thing together. There are no big eyes. There are no little yous. It's just the people of God who love the Lord, who gave his life for us that we may have a right to the tree of life. We have to advance the good news of the gospel, and we have to continuously advance it. Like I said earlier, there's a devil trying to make sure that he disturbs us and distracts us and causes us to get off track. Now, here's where I wanted to really get down to where the rubber meets the road. Verse 6. Paul says this, and I agree 1,000% with Paul in what he's saying. He says, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing. Listen to this. He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. That should tell you right now that God is working in you. And even though you still have some flaws, even though you may have some mistakes, even though you may do a few things wrong, even though you've got a couple of habits that you need to break, even though you have a couple of secret sins that only you and God know about, you got to understand, my beloved, you are a work in progress. God is working on you. If you look at your beginning point, he who began a good work in you, what is he going to do? Here's the process. Shall continue it to completion. When is the end of that work? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
All right, think about that. I mean, he begins working in you. He freed us from the penalty of sin. He's in the process of freeing us from the power of sin. Here it is. Now, think about this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, this is good to me. Freeing me from the penalty of sin. That means because Christ suffered, bled, died, and rose on the third day with all power in his hand, I no longer have to pay the penalty of sin because that penalty was paid for me. Now I'm in the process of being freed from the power of sin. You see, Paul said it best in, I believe it's Romans chapter 7. You can start at verse 25. And I'm just going to take this real quick thing right here. Paul would often say, the very thing that I desire not to do, I find myself doing. And the thing that I actually want to do, it seems like it's such a difficult thing to do. Being free from the power of sin, meaning you've been doing something so long and you're just so used to doing it, you think it's okay to go out and do that very thing. You got to understand that there's a threefold process taking in. The beginning where he began a good work in you. He saved you. He sanctified you. He set you apart. He imputed you with his righteousness. He justified you. He put you in a position where you are declared not guilty, regardless of what it is that you've done. And now that he's gotten that done, he is carrying it on to completion. He's freeing you from those bad habits. He's freeing you from that cussing spirit. He's freeing you from that drinking spirit. He's freeing you from that marijuana spirit. He's freeing you from that lust spirit. He's freeing you. And though you may find yourself from time to time trying to get back and delve back at it, yet the Holy Spirit who convicts you in that self-same hour, he lets you know, don't do that. That's not, the Father's not pleased with that. Now, you can override the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to take that up front. You can override him, but if you override him and you go out and do what you want to do anyway, the only thing that's going to happen is guilt and shame are going to try to overtake you, and then here comes the devil. See, I knew you wasn't much good. You might as well just go on and keep on doing it. God don't love you. God don't care about you. God ain't thinking about you. God's going to kill you. God is going to take you out, you little bad demon seed, you. That's the enemy talking right there. Tell him to shut up. You go back to God and pray. You get on your knees and with a contrite heart. You do like David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. God, when you're serious with God, God gets serious with you. And when you realize that you've sinned, like David, you go before the Father, and the Father will forgive you. Because if he doesn't forgive you, then we've got to tear 1 John 1 and 9 out of the book. We've got to tear 1 John 2 and 1 out of the book. 1 John 1 and 9 tells me clearly that if I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, and he has the ability to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How do I know? Because 1 John 2 and 1 tells me that I have an advocate, somebody who is speaking on my behalf, somebody who is my defense attorney, somebody that stands up in the court of law, somebody that's letting God know that I am still yet righteous, letting him know that his blood was shed so that I might be cleansed, letting God know that he's learning, he's training, he made a mistake, give him another chance. This is our advocate, Jesus Christ, interceding on our behalf on a day-to-day basis. That doesn't mean you go back and commit the same sin over and over again, but what it does mean is that as Jesus has cleansed us through his blood and has washed us, he's expecting us to go and sin no more. God forgives us and we move on. That is the process. Being free from the presence of sin is what the future is, because there's a time coming when we're going to take off this mortality and we're going to put on immortality. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. On that given day when the first trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to get up out of the ground. Those who are alive and yet remain, they're going to experience that immortal change. We're going to take off the corruptible and we're going to put on the incorruptible. No longer will we be affected, infected, or infected by sin. Did y'all get that?
Amen.
Think about that. Going back to the beginning point, we were cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now, in the process, we're liberated by the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ. And now, finally, in the future, we're given our inheritance by the time, around the time of Christ's second coming. So when we're talking about the three aspects of salvation, when you're talking about the beginning, when you're talking about the process, we're talking about the completion. Any questions, anything that anybody wants to bring up and help and add to what we're already talking about? Nothing? Woo, my God, this is good word. This is good word. Now, let me say this. We already possess our salvation. But knowing what we possess allows us to enjoy it. Some of us are not aware of what God has given us. You know, first of all, let me just break it down. I'm not going to be too long with this. I'm going to be very short with this. God has, number one, given us new life. You got a brand new life. Yeah, I know. You're still in your same flesh. You still got the same eyes, ears, nose, mouth, yada, 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 and all the physical features. I am not talking physical features because you keep forgetting the very fact that prior to salvation, you were separated from God and you were destined for hell. Yeah, I'll say it again. Prior to salvation, you were separated from God and you were destined for hell. Now here you are. Having given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering to God's salvation plan, saying yes to the Lord, you have now been reconnected to God the Father through God the Son by way of God the Holy Spirit, which means that you are connected. Here is how it works now. Think about it this way. They say, well, you know, who's your company? Jesus, you, and me. That's the earthly realm. But it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then the bride, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. So there is our full-fledged connection right there, okay? We've got to recognize that there are aspects of salvation. I don't know what stage any and all of you are in. Some of you are well advanced. Now, some of you still drink a little milk. Some of you are eating the soft foods of the word. It's still the word, and it's truth. And then there are the meat eaters. And to the meat eaters, let me throw something at you. See, the whole thing is, for the meat eaters, we often think that we have to have deep revelation. Well, I found out and discovered that even though you may receive deep, quote-unquote, revelation, sometimes you don't do very well in digesting the meat that you eat. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we meet in the process of getting this quote-unquote deep revelation, we don't do a good job of digesting the meat that we eat. I'll show you what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, the Bible tells us no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Is that right? We've read that 1,000 times. Am I right? We've read, when the enemy shall come in, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We heard that 1,000 times, if I'm not wrong. Think about this for a minute. How many times have a situation come up, and I'm just talking simple everyday stuff. For instance, your mortgage is due, your car note is due, your children's educational training, the tuition is due, and at the moment you just lost your job, and you know you haven't quite started collecting unemployment yet. You don't have enough, or you barely got enough money. You might not have enough money to get your food on your table. Some of you will panic in that situation. You know, and yeah, thank you, Pastor Tazewell. She wrote it down and said, as soon as a problem hits, we panic, we turn wimpy. And this is what I'm driving at. I'm trying to make you understand you don't need to panic. It's a test. Every time you find yourself going through a trial, James said it the best when he said, beloved, think it not, count it all joy when you endure various trials, knowing that the trial of your faith is going to work patience in you. In other words, you're going to give God opportunity and chance to work. If God said he's going to supply your need according to his riches and glory, beloved, believe that. Don't let that shift. Don't let that change. If God said he's going to do something for you, believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he is going to do. He's able to do it. He has that amness about him. Why do you think he told Moses? When Moses said to him back in, when they were in Egypt, he says, who shall I say sent me? He says, tell him I am that I am. See, a lot of us will read that, I am that I am. Don't read so fast. Listen to what God told Moses. He's saying the same thing to us. I am that I am. What do you need? He is. All right? Let me talk bad English for a minute. What are you in need of? God is saying, I am. Are you in need of finances? I am your finances. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The world is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world is they that dwell therein. So when you find yourself giving as unto the Lord, he told us in Luke 6:38 that if we gave, it would be given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give it to our bosoms. God is letting us know that he is that great I am. Do you need healing? His name is Jehovah Rapha. He's saying to somebody that needs healing, I am your healing. When are you going to trust me with your heart? When are you going to should be able to trust him. Why? Because he is the great I am.
Amen.
Any last sentence? Any comments?
Amen.
Well, I got a lot of quiet going on here these days. Thank you. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is always going to be upon you. The Lord is always going to put you in a position where he's going to show his favor to you. I love the very fact that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro and throughout the entire earth looking to see whom he can show his favor to. Why won't you let God show you his favor? Why won't you trust him to the place and point where you're going to allow his favor to work in you, to work with you? You have to understand that there are three parts to one event. The one event is the process of your salvation. And when talking about the aspects of salvation, it's crystal clear right there in verse 6. I don't know about you, but I'm going to say what Paul says. I'm going to agree with Paul. I am convinced. I am sure of this very thing. If God started this work in me, God is going to carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. My beginning point, he started it in me. The process of time, he's going to carry it to completion. The final event tells me that when Christ comes back, all that I'm supposed to be and all I'm required to be and all I'm ever going to be has already been set up and established. What do I have left to do? Just to walk in it. That's it. To simply walk in it. Let me ask you a question. Paul prayed with joy. Was it about the Christian friends that he thanked God for, or why did he pray for this? For what reasons did Paul pray for joy? Verse 5 will give you what I want to hear. There are three or four things in verse 5 that you can look at. Look at verse 5 in your Bible. Verse 5 of chapter 1. What was it that, why was Paul so thankful? What was it about the believers at Philippi that Paul really thanked God for? And I want you to look at it closely because here it is in a nutshell. I'm not getting any answers on the phone or on social media, so I'm going to go ahead and go ahead. Say it out loud. Say it loud and clear.
For your fellowship.
For the fellowship. What else?
From the day until now, the first day until
now. Keep going. You on a roll. He's thanking God for the fellowship. He's thanking God for the cooperation of the believers. He's thanking God for the contributions that everybody. And see, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now, don't think that your contribution, no matter how small, is useless. Your contribution does not have a size to it. And see, that's the worst part about it. A lot of us think that because we're not putting the most money in the plate, because we're not, you know, the lead usher or the lead singer or in the choir or on the trustee board or on the deacon board or on the mother board, we think that our contributions are insignificant. No. See, and Paul talked about it in Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to go all the way back there for a minute when he talked about the body operating as one. And when he talked about the comely parts, he's talking about those parts of the body that we physically do not see. But if they're not in their proper place, then there are a lot of things that do not happen. Okay? Think about this for a second. When those of us, there are people, if you go into a service, and I hope and pray that we develop a team of prayer warriors at Power to Stand that can help. Dr. Booker used to pray a lot, and I can't say she's not praying. All I'm simply saying is I remember I used to physically see her pacing the floor just before service. Now, that was a beautiful day because the atmosphere is being set at that point. The atmosphere is being set. And it's a difficult thing for anybody to have to come in anywhere and have to preach. And the atmosphere is not conducive. The atmosphere is kind of messed up, kind of jacked up. People's minds are everywhere except on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to put ourselves in a position where we are able to be able to move forward in the things of God. A lot of times we can't get that done. So when I make mention of this, all I'm simply saying is every contribution that is made is deeply appreciated. This is a partnership, and I've got to say that. This is a partnership. I got the light going the wrong way. This is a partnership. Jesus, you, and me. That is the partnership. All three of us connected to God the Father by way of the Holy Ghost. Y'all understanding that?
Yes.
He says, I am convinced and sure of this one thing, of this very thing. He who began a good work in me, in you, will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work. Now, what's going on in you? See, here's where we can't get puffed up and punch our little bird chest out thinking that we all that. There are some of us that can pray, and I mean you can pray down a storm. You can pray the heavens right onto the face of the earth. And then there are those of you who struggle with your prayers. You're doing the very best that you can, but sometimes your very best, according to the ears of some people, ain't good enough. We're not here to judge the quality of an individual's prayer. That is not our job. Everybody prays according to what they're familiar with. Everybody prays according to what's in their heart. Everybody prays according to how they are learning. There are some who learn fast. There are some who are quick learners. And then there are those who take a little extra time and trying to learn how to pray. I'll be honest with you. When I first started learning how to pray, I didn't realize that God answers prayers quickly when I pray the word. God is not interested in your, Oh, Lord, I want to say thank you, Jesus. I want to say thank you, Jesus. You've been a good God, been with me all day. No. I mean, it sounds pretty, but you ain't saying nothing. How about trying this for a change when you pray? Say to God, Father, according to your word, which says, if thou decree a thing, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. How about saying, you said in your word that you would supply my needs? See, the problem is we got to understand that God is listening, and he's listening for his word. He wants to hear his word reverted back to him. And when you speak his word in your prayer time, you get God's attention 1,000 times faster. When God hears his word in your prayer, put him in remembrance, because he told us to do that. God told us to put him in remembrance. And that we can do. You said that you would do this. You said that you would do this. You told me if I do this, that you would do that. You told me to do this. You're speaking to him. Now, some of you, when you were children, and even those of you that have children, think about what we say. We turn around and say, well, if you get good grades in school, I'm going to take you to Six Flags. All right? So the child gets good, great grades. Not just good grades, great grades. All right? Mommy, you said to me that if I got good grades in school, that you were going to take me to Six Flags. Well, I'm an honor student, Mommy. Are we going to Six Flags? What are you going to say? Nah, I was just kidding, kid. I wasn't really going to take you to Six Flags. I just wanted you to get good grades. I said that just to hype you up. Don't you dare do that to that child. Imagine if God did that to us. Think about it. What if God did to us what we sometimes would do to our own children? What if God did to us what we sometimes do to our own family members? How would you feel if God treated you like you treat your loved ones? How would you feel if God treated you or handled you the way you handle certain people? Some of you would be upset and try to walk away from the church. I'm very sure of that. All I'm trying to make you understand is God honors his word. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should have to repent. If God says a thing, it shall come to pass. Now, I want to do something here. I'm going to, and those of you who are on the phone line, those of you who are on social media, you can write it down. I want you to fill this out in your own translation. And what I want you to do, I'm going to take phrases from Philippians, the first chapter and verse 6. And I want you to match up the aspects of salvation, past, present, and future. Now, when I say he who started a good work in you, what I want you to do, all right, what I want you to do is, what does that mean to you when God, it says he, meaning Jesus Christ, who started a good work in you? What is that saying to you? If I came to you and said, I'm going to make you a supervisor. You've never had this job before. You have no training in this job. You have no skill in this job. You have no knowledge of how this particular job works. You have no idea how it works. So I say to you, I'm going to begin a good work in you. What is that saying to you? Yes, thank you. Pastor Tazewell said, process begun. That is exactly right, but let me hear from the rest of you. What does that mean to you? Come on and talk to me. What does it mean? He who began a good work in you. He who started a good work in you. Come on now, think about it. What does it mean? I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to train you in something, something you've never done before. Salvation isn't something we were all familiar with. Being fishers of men is not something all of us have been familiar with all our lives. We didn't know nothing about being fishers of men until we came to know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of our sins. And then God, by way of the Holy Spirit, because of people that he was able to use, taught us how to win the lost to Christ, taught us how to go out and to evangelize. So what does it mean that he who began a good work in you? Now, Pastor Tazewell said, process begun. She's on TikTok right now. She put up the phrase, process begun. All right.
It's begun, and he's going to finish it till the day that Jesus come again.
Okay. So he started a good work in you means what to you, Mother? Exactly.
He will continue that process to the end also.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you so much, Mother. Go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. I just thought you were finished. Please forgive me. What does it mean to you? Come on, talk to me, those of you who are on the phone. What does it mean, he who started a good work in you? What good work has Christ started in you? And think about what you do. Why do you do what you do? Did not the Lord start that work in you? You might have been a good person. Have you always been a good giver? Have you always been a prayer warrior? Have you always been a good encourager? Have you always been one who knows how to work in the ministry of helps? Have you always been like that? Oh, y'all hear all this silence right here? I'm going to leave y'all alone. Y'all ain't answering me. Okay. So, Carrie, I thank you, Mother Miles. You covered all three in one shot. He who began a good work in you. If Jesus Christ is doing a work in you, even in this given day, understand, beloved, he is not going to abandon the work in you. God doesn't, and oh, thank you again, Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you get a chance, go to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And, excuse me, I need you to read the account of the potter and the potter's house. And what I want you to pay attention to is simply this. Jeremiah walks into the potter's house, and he notices that the potter takes a lump of clay, and he sets the lump of clay up on the potter's wheel, and he begins to allow that wheel to spin. And in the process of allowing that wheel to spin, Jeremiah begins shaping that clay into some type of fixed object. Whether it's a cup, bowl, saucer, plate, whatever it is he's trying to make, he's beginning to shape that thing. God does the same thing for us from the day we hit the face of this earth. God is preparing us for for the destiny and the assignment that he has set us up for. God is getting us ready to move forward in the thing that he called us to do. And so God places certain things within us. Some of you don't even understand why you could be so kind to people that be so mean. You don't understand why you don't backlash and backtalk and boo down people who deserve to have their behinds whooped because of how vile and vicious their mouth is. God has helped some of you to understand what it means to share what you have with people who have less than what you have. And you found yourself sharing what you have even with little hustlers. And these little hustlers come and take from you everything they can take from you. And then when they realize how good your heart is, you notice how they're bringing back what they've taken from you and restoring to you sevenfold. God prepared you way back in eternity past for a time such as this. And so he starts his good work in you, and he carries it forth. And as you elevate, and one thing you got to understand that God elevates, God's elevations and graduations are a little different. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you'll get a better understanding of God elevating and graduating. You see, love has an education, and the whole basis of this entire thing, if you are going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, love has got to be an absolute base for you. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you have to understand what love is and what love does not do. You got to know what love does and what love does not do. And when you understand what love does and do what love says to do, and then learn what love does not do and learn not to do what love does not do, now you are on the right track for growth. Now you are a candidate to go to the next level. And don't think for 35 seconds, going back to that potter and that clay, when that pot or whatever that clay is that that potter is shaping, making a molding, gets to its right form, that clay now has to be hardened, which means that that clay is now going to end up going into a level of heat. I don't want to say fire. I want to say heat, okay? And so in going to that level of heat, that heat helps to harden the clay, causing the moisture in the clay to dry out so that that clay pot or whatever it is that they made takes its shape, holds its shape, and because most of the moisture has been dried out of it, it is now formulated to what it's supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying that God is taking the moisture out of you, but what he is doing is every now and then, he'll allow your situations and circumstances to heat up, to come to a point and place in heating up. They've come to a place where you haven't dried out, but you haven't given up either. Here's where you can see your elevation. If something that irritated you a long time ago, it no longer imitates you. It says, it amazes me, the good isn't good enough, his perfect women. The good isn't good enough, he perfects it. Okay, he perfects his work to grow. Exactly. That's what he does. He prunes us when we, like a flower, like a plant. When we need pruning, when we need something to be taken off of us so that we can grow and be better at what we do. God takes in all that. I'm going to hold right there. I thank God for each and every one of you being with us today. To those of you, let me just give a couple of quick announcements, and I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We here at Power to Stand are grateful to each and every one of you, and we have a few things that we want to share with you. We need you to go to our website, and let me say this. For those of you who have been going to our website and leaving your prayer requests, we are praying for you every Monday through Friday from 12 to about 1 or until the Lord says that's enough. And we so appreciate you as a people that you started coming to our prayer line. And I know some of the prayers that come to the prayer line, they leave question marks, but you know what? It's not for us to question. It's for us to do what we said we're going to do. In any event, I want to help you with something. I don't know if any of you have a daily devotion, but Power to Stand does have a daily devotion. It's called Word for You Today. And the way to get this is you go on your phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, whether you use the Apple app or the Google app, look up Word for You. today. And then I want you to put in an access code when you set it up, K as in Kathy, L for love, K for Kathy. You can join the Power to Stand family in watch and reading our daily devotions. And believe it or not, this also comes in an audio form. So if you don't have time to read and you're in traffic and you're driving, you can go to the audio form and you can listen on your phone for the word for you today. It's an encouraging devotional, and we want you to have this. So please, ma'am, please, sir, go download Word for You Today. Use the code KLK and join Power to Stand. Also, we have a magazine that God has blessed us to be part of. It's called Start Healthy. Start Healthy is a magazine that shares with you some recipes. We're going to be doing something in the very near future with one of our ministers here as they're going to share some health tips. I'm sorry, beloved, especially the body of Christ, listen to me carefully. Some of you are out of shape. Some of you are obese. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. Some of you are sick because of the fact you will not take care of your physical body. There are recipes and ideas in here, health ideas where you can do some not so strenuous exercises where you can kind of get your body conditioned. I know Paul said exercise profiteth little, but godliness brings great gain. How can you work for the Lord and you're sick all the time? You can still work for him, but you can't be as effective if you will not allow God to get your physical body in some kind of condition. I just wanted to share those things with you. And finally, let me say, for those of you that believe that this ministry and this Bible study is a blessing to you, I would ask that you, whatever you want to do, we don't ask for any specific amount. If you desire to share with us, please use our use our Cash App, $Power to Stand, or go to Givelify or tithe.ly. Look for Power to Stand up from Marlboro, Maryland, and you can tithe that way. We thank God. If you want to send check or money order, you can go to send it to Power to Stand Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box 1335, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20773. We thank God for anything that you do, and thank you for those of you who have been supporting this ministry up to this present point in time. It's because of your generosity that Power to Stand, along with the tithes and offerings of the congregation, can still stand on its feet and say that we are in the black, not in the red. And it ain't about the money. That money goes to help with the mission. Power to Stand is an outreach church. We do domestic as well as international missions. We support other works that have something to do. If we can't be there, we try to be supportive of those works. And this isn't just in the DMV area, which is what they call Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. This is nationwide and worldwide. We do what we can do. Now, I want to say this, too, because there are some who come to us and think that we're going to be a support system, meaning we're going to pour out $1 million. No, we go out and try to help, along with other missionaries, we try to help these places become self-sufficient. And these places have to become self-sufficient, because if I give you a fish, you can eat for the day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for as long as you desire. And so our job is to teach you how to fish, quote unquote, so that you can eat as much as you desire. We've had organizations down in Haiti that are now self-sufficient. They grow their own crops. They have their own chickens. They all have their own pigs, own cows, and different things like that. And they're doing very well. So we bless God for every one of you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. As I sign you out in prayer, I say go with God tomorrow night at 9 p.m. if you desire. We do have open mic with the bishop. We're going to do it live tomorrow. So if you desire, talk, I'm going to come on so that you can be part of the podcast. Facebook Live, I may come on. I'm not going to say yes or no just yet. We'll wait till that time comes. Nonetheless, God's peace be upon you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that you're about, that you've already done. Thank you for this Bible study and for this opportunity and for this time, God. We ask that you can give us sweet sleep for those who are going to sleep, for those that that have to work tonight. We pray for their safety, Father God, that you will continue to lead, guide, and guard them. God, speak to their heart in the wee hours of the night. Give them a desire to pray. And God, to hold up others who may otherwise not have a voice to speak for themselves. For each one that has spent the time with us to hear what thus saith thee in thy word, we ask that you would multiply, God, and bring forth that which they have need of. We thank you for the work that you're doing, for it's in the mighty matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Have a good night, everybody. God bless each and every one of you.
Bye.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.